Back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are bringing you another version of a production we've covered before, but this is really, really exciting. This new adaptation is really fantastic. And joining us to talk about this production, we have the director and adapter, Michael Higgins. He's here to talk to us about Cage Theatre Company's presentation of No Exit. It's playing July 5th through the 13th at Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting Brigid.nyc. It's celebrating the 80th anniversary of the show itself, and it's, look, everything I've looked into so far, you've got to go. I know it's a short run, but you've got to get your tickets, and you've got to check this out. So why don't we bring in the perfect person to tell us more about that? That, of course, is our guest, Michael. Michael, welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be on and happy to talk about the play.
I'm so happy you are here. I'm so happy we're talking about this show. As we were speaking before we started, I felt so ignorant not knowing what the show was about before getting introduced to it. I thought with it being around for as long as it has, I was like, how did I not know about this? And now you're bringing this great new adaptation of the show 80 years later from the original. Can you start by telling us a little bit about this piece and what it's about?
Well, No Exit is about three people who are stuck together. So for those of us who survived COVID, we all know what that's like. However, what happens if you're stuck with somebody who you absolutely hate and brings out the worst in you? That's what No Exit is pretty much about. Three people stuck together who bring out the worst in each other and are going to become hell on earth or hell on a stage.
That is fantastic. And also horrific. Who wants to be stuck together with three people? What inspired you to do this current adaptation, to adapt this ageless story?
Well, I actually had a few people ask me about doing this play, and it came up where the timing was right. And a friend of mine, Alana Hammond, who plays Inez in the show, was pretty much begging me to do this. She was coming back to New York. She lives in California currently. And along my friend Matthew Teamster as well was interested. And I was just, after all the talk and all the begging and all the, you know, asking questions here and there, I decided, all right, I'll do this. They want me to put it up. I'll look at the script and see what is going on with it. And I read through the piece, and it's a wonderful play, but I'm also thinking the translation is a little archaic for 2024. There's some references that we don't say anymore. And so I figured, let me kind of do what Sam Gold did for Enemy of the People and just have a look at this and change some things so it's not so edgy for a modern audience. I want to keep the themes in there still because the play is a great piece, as is, but some things I wanted to make sure is still good for a modern audience so no one's offended, no one's bothered by archaic language, and no one's triggered in the audience.
I love that. That is a brilliant answer. Now, at the time of this recording, we are 2 days away from the show opening. Like, we are racing into it. So what has it been like developing your piece?
Well, one of our actors is bi-coastal, and she did not come to New York until about, last week. So we began rehearsing over Zoom. And Zoom rehearsals are nice and all, and they can be fun, but you don't really get to feel the text and the acting, the choices until you're on your feet. And so it's been a little rushed for my taste, but also at the same time, you're watching these actors. You don't have time to think. You have time to have your instincts kick in and have your natural talent really shine. And so it's been difficult at first, but as we go through our rehearsals, you see the actors almost in their rawest forms, putting on just an amazing display of their talents. And it's been amazing to watch them all grow, even the short time I've had them live in the rehearsal.
That is so cool. That's got to be a challenge, though, with the bi-coastal. I mean, oh my gosh. That is, what a feat you are all accomplishing. So this is amazing. Now, with this story that for some might be familiar, for others may not, but still it's got some dark roots in it. Is there a message or a thought you're hoping audiences take away from the piece?
Well, don't go to hell. That's definitely a quick message. But also, there are just elements of how people are treated in the play. Oh, each character treats other people abominably. They, like, one, the man, Joseph Garson, treats his wife horribly. Inez Serrano treats her lover horribly, and Estelle treats her husband and her lover horribly. And we got to be good to each other. And it's one of those things where in 2024, especially in these times, we got to rely on our friends and our families, and treating people like crap is just not going to help anything. And so part of the thing I learned from No Exit especially is I treat my wife with respect and love. I treat my friends with respect and love. And listening to these characters treat everyone that supposedly loves them and honors them like crap is just, it hurts my heart a little bit. And also makes me think, yeah, you deserve to be here. You deserve to be in hell because you treated your loved ones horribly. And so I'm hoping in the end people can walk out of this show and go, you know, I should hug my partner a little more today. And I should tell my friend that I like them and I respect them a little more and not make these horrible choices to make someone second guess their friendship or their love for them.
I love that idea. That is a wonderful idea. Well put. And a good lead into my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to this production of No Exit?
I mean, it's available via live and streaming, so I want everyone to see this. And I feel like anyone who appreciates classic work, anyone who looks at the works that come from people from the 40s and the 30s and well beyond that, anyone should appreciate good theater and anyone should appreciate good writing as well. Everyone should look at these plays and go, I can learn something from this, because we should learn from history. We should learn from our peers. We should learn from our ancestors. And this play was written in 1944 and has a lot of themes that are still today very relevant.
Second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I would like to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Number one on my list has always been William Shakespeare. I have done every play in the Shakespeare canon in some form or other. I've been an actor, director, fight director for it. And I feel like so many of Shakespeare's plays are still relevant today. The themes, the plots, the characters, all of them are still today very relevant. I know there are people who are not a fan of Shakespeare and don't like the verse and don't like the classic themes. But to me, it's been inspiring from the very beginning. Ever since I was 9 years old, I've loved taking in Shakespearean text. And my whole theater company's mission statement has been to take classical works and put them into a modern context. And so I have a resume full of Shakespeare plays I've created that are modernized or in some case put with certain themes that really highlight what it's about. And so I can look at Shakespeare at any play in Shakespeare and just go, I can work with this. I can give this to a modern audience and I can make them understand this. I can make them love this play little by little.
I love that. I love that idea.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, I know you've been busy with the show, but have you had a chance to see any great theater lately that you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
Actually, I saw a one-person show done by a good friend of mine, a very talented actor, Jim Haynes. It was called Crackpot Shakespeare Theories, Volume 1. It's a brand new show he created recently, and it's about his life and how much he loves doing Shakespeare and loves acting and drawing as well. And I'm actually hoping to support him getting into the Fringe coming up this and next year. So I'm hoping to get more audience people to see his play. Also, my friend Caitlin LaBarge, she put up an original work as well called Two Pink Lines about pregnancy. She's a doula and she's been collecting stories from women who've gone through pregnancies for good and for bad. And she also she's new at playwriting, but this play is just amazing what she's created. And so I'm hoping to also give her some help in getting into Fringe and getting the word out about the play. So, I mean, unfortunately, I just got married 2 months ago, so my show calendar is a little empty right now, but I'm hoping as the year goes on to see more shows and support more artists.
That is amazing. A huge congratulations to you as well. That is fabulous.
Thank you.
I would love to know now, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Does sound cliche maybe, but opening night. Just opening night, when I direct a piece, if I'm not in it, hopefully I'm not in it, but just sitting in the audience or just standing there because my energy is always so frantic, I can't sit down for too long. when I stand in the audience and I get to hear the audience react to things I created, when I get to hear them laugh at the joke I put in the play or cry at this dramatic moment that I put in there, knowing that it worked, knowing that the story that I'm telling worked. And every single opening night, and I've done thousands of plays at this point, I'm old. And every gray hair probably is a show I've done in my lifetime. But every opening night, I think I have a new tear, a new moment to cry, like how beautiful something worked out or how something moved me or how the audience was moved by something. And it hasn't gotten old yet. I hope it never does. I hope when I'm 75 years old and I'm still writing plays with a crooked hand and a broken back, I can still cry a little bit in the audience going, oh, they like that.
I love that answer. I relate so much to that. Yes. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
There's a lot. I guess I'll go with an easy one to describe. I was playing Petruchio in Taming of the Shrew. And I get to perform this Taming of the Shrew on my birthday, August 7th, way back in 2006. And we're in the middle of New England in like a park in Massachusetts. And I'm performing Petruchio. I'm having a great time. At the end of the show, I took my bows, Petruchio, and the whole audience, who apparently was in on this joke, sang me happy birthday. Cast and crew and audience sang me happy birthday as I'm taking the final bows as Petruchio. It was such an unbelievable moment. I could not believe this happened to me. But I look back at them and go, that was a beautiful moment that just hit me so in the feels.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's so wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or your company have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I'm hoping to be part of the Day of the Dead Festival for Frigid. I have a play called All Hallows Eve. I'm not sure if you're a horror fan or not, but the movie Halloween, the classic Michael Myers Halloween, I have turned that into a Shakespearean production. And I'm looking forward to putting that live on the stage for the first time, because I've tried for 3 years now, but things kept happening. Good things, but things kept happening. So this year is the year I'm determined to finally get it on the stage, live in front of an audience.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I look forward to hearing that you've made the festival and to seeing the show. Well, finally, if our listeners would like more information about No Exit or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Best way is Facebook. Cage Theater Company has its own Facebook page. I have my own as well, but Cage Theater has much more just business things to talk about. I try not to get too political in my personal posts. Unfortunately, my website's still down, working on a webmaster to fix my website. But for now, if you want to find me, Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm both Brooklyn Buck for myself and then Cage Theater Company for my business Instagram. Best two ways to reach me and ask me any questions. I have no problem asking and answering many questions if you have any concerns.
Well, wonderful. Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, for sharing your amazing production now and a production coming in the fall. I'm putting it in the universe now. It's happening. I can't wait to see both of these. I really appreciate your time today. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
My guest today has been the incredible adapter and director, Michael Higgins, whose upcoming production being presented by Cage Theater Company is No Exit. It's playing July 5th through the 13th at Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We also have some contact information for our guests and the company, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But right now, you need to head over to Frigid NYC, get your tickets for this limited run. It's also streaming. So if you are not here in the New York City area, have no fear. You can still take part in this wonderful production. Once again, the show is No Exit, playing July 5th through the 13th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.